Blog Talk Radio.
My system, and the next thing I know, I'm flowing.
I'm hitting the rap. I'm spitting the rap, letting them lyrics loose. What I used to do, man. I remember those days, young man. And I real quick tell y'all a story, man. My manager took me to this producer's house, and you could tell that the producer, he loved what he did. He loved his music, but he didn't like for real the artist he was working with. He, you know, some of them were okay, but he didn't have a care. You know what I'm saying? So my manager told him, she say, he can rap. I'm telling you, he's good. And the producer, my man Ice, shout out to Ice Productions. But my man Ice say, all right, yeah, I've heard all that. I've heard people endorse people. You ready to go? I said, right now? He said, yeah. I said, give me a beat. So 7 beats later, tail full of sweat, everybody that he brought into that booth trying to battle rap me, man, I was Venus and Serena and them bammers up out the booth, man. You know, and the track was going, and they was tight, and he was tight. When I came out of that booth, I got an A shirt on, right? A white beater. That joint was soaking wet, and he said to me, hey, I want to work with you, man. Can you come back tomorrow? And that come back tomorrow turned into almost 2 years of us doing our thing, you know, and circumstances and situations prevented us to move further. But it was just, oh, man, I'm telling you, I wish everybody that's into my style of music could have been there with that. That was like one of my greatest nights on the microphone. And I took no prisoners. You hear me? You hear me? I mean, Bama was getting out of that booth, man. Dude tight, man. I surrender. They was white flagging me, y'all. They was white flagging me. And it was so much fun, man. I had a great time in my younger days with that microphone and doing certain things. And it was a time where I was very close to actually making it in the game. But you know, when you're dealing with the wrong people in the right situation, wrong always seems to come about. Yeah, but hey, that's just a little bit of my background, what I do and have done and love to do every now and then. Welcome to today's Throwback Thursday edition of Kale's Corner, okay? We're going to have a different type of corner madness. You have to talk about, you know, I want you guys, your most memorable memory from any March Madness tournament, men's or women's, today or from the past. I want to know, you know, I really want to know. NBA report, Draymond Green, y'all. We got to take some time and talk about this young man's future, man. We truly, truly do, because Draymond you know what? I'm going to save it for the show. But, yeah, I mean, I've been on the he need counseling bandwagon. I've been on the what is he doing? Why can't he get him together wagon? And I mean, none of it seems to work. So I want to know what you guys think. What should be done with Draymond Green? Okay, NFL. Talk these new rules, man. These new rules. And if you understand and truly comprehend what this, what the league is saying when it comes to these new rules, please help your boy out. Help your boy out. I'm talking about the hip tackling, blocking, kickoff, all the crazy rules, new rules that are being implemented. We're going to talk a little bit about the trades and draft pick swap. You know, as teams, hey, the draft is less than a month away, guys. It's less than a month away. And, you know, this time of year is both exciting and boring to me. Because this time of year in football, there's a whole lot of guessing and estimations and this going to be that and that going to be, you know. So I just love once the actual draft takes place, training camp, and then we can get on and get into this thing called football. And you know, my Reese Cup always tell me, you rushing your birthday away. Well, you know, I've had 53 birthdays, you know. I've had 53 birthdays, so it's not really that I'm rushing it away. If the NBA started, I mean, the NFL started in spring, I'd be the same way. I would be the exact same way because I just love the NFL so much, as I'm sure you guys do as well. So we're going to talk all this and much more on today's episode. Join us on 563-999-3782. That's each and every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm going to ask you guys to forgive me on Tuesday. I had a couple of non-able-to-ignore issues that I had to take care of Tuesday, so that's why we're not. On Tuesday, but hopefully all of that situation is taken care of, and we won't miss any more days. All right, Kale's Corner, we're keeping it real. It's the only real. Know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about. all right, y'all. We're gonna take a quick break, quick break, and jump into. We're going to jump into the Final Four memories, March Madness memories. I want to know what are you guys are holding on to, you know, for all these years, or what you saw this year that you're holding on to. All right? 563-999-3782 is the number. I'm in a Jay-Z type of mood today. I don't know why. You know, I guess. I'm just trying to play here before all that Puffy mess catch up with Jay-Z. Yeah, not bad. All right, y'all. We'll be right back.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. You know why, thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuffs, gotta freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breathing, talk about what's the reason. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama, better trust and believe them. In the cup where I keep them, till I need the wood, till I need to beat it up, then it's beef, beef, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cup, divorce them and split his bucks, just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be fronting. Me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen. I'll be forever macking, heart goes in assassins. I got no passion.
Got no patience, and I hate waiting. Honey, come on, get in here. Let's ride. All right. My memory, I'm going to start it off, guys. My memory was, and I'm telling y'all, it's crazy because I have more than one memory. First of all, the 1989 Gary Williams-led Maryland Terrapins men's basketball. Because that was the year I graduated, 1989, if anybody wants to know. But my real favorite memories were our two final consecutive appearances in 2001 and 2002, you know. And that 2002 appearance, you know, culminated in a national championship for my Maryland Terrapins. So yeah, that's the best memory for me. It was sad in that 86-87 year, because that was the year Len Bias passed away. And that ain't a great memory for me, but that's something else I remember, because every game we played after his passing, the team did a tribute to him. So, all right, let's go on the phones. Let's take a phone call. 7816, who you be? Where you be? 720, you on the corner. All right, let's go to Brother Lou from Jersey.
Thanks.
What's happening, brother? How you feeling?
All right. Let's see, where should I begin with my list? I wish you didn't bring up 1989, though, because that was the year Seton Hall lost to Michigan, and all New Jersey was crushed. Ugh.
All New Jersey.
My senior year as well.
Mine too. Hey, look.
I'm like,
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Does it seem to you that the March Madness was better back then than it is today to you? I mean, it's, you know, maybe it was because we were younger.
I think it was. Back in the 80s, I think it was. You know, back when I grew up in, you know, you know, I don't think we even had the 64 just yet at that point, but it seems like there was a better atmosphere for it back then than it is now.
Right.
ESPN had all the coverage before everybody else started taking over. The quality of play, I think, was better. So, yeah, I think it might have been better in the 80s and into the I'll say through the 90s as well. When the 2000s started hitting, I think everything started to go south. So, and of course, like I said, there was a lot of memories that I think I can vouch for the Final Four, especially the last game.
Right. Okay.
There's a few instances. You can't forget the 83 final for sure. You cannot forget that.
No, you can't.
NC State versus Five Slamma Jamma. The winning shot was a dunk. Oh, boy. And Galvano running by the court to find his players. What's going on? The crowd went nuts. I went nuts at home. This is unreal.
Right.
That was pandemonium right there. Anybody who watched the game, I think we were sharing the same emotion.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What? Just an unbelievable finish. I'll take another one for you. The 2016 final, Villanova, North Carolina. Comes down to the final seconds. The score is tied at 76. And Villanova hits a winning shot at the buzzer.
Right.
That was that night.
Yeah.
That was just about the time I first started coming to the show.
Okay.
I just started a few weeks prior to that, you know, and, you know, right there, you know, that's when, you know, I came in March, but the championship game was about 3-4 weeks later, and, you know, that's just about the beginning of my national podcasting career.
There you go. So did that spark your career? Did that make you, you know, want to get into this?
Oh, I've wanted to get into it since I was a kid. I mean, you know.
Oh, okay.
But let's just say it got a research.
Hmm.
Well, look, because I did local 3 years prior to coming national. So I did, you know, with a friend of mine. We started a local operation, you know, then. And then 3 years later, I got notified by somebody. And, you know, I was a part of the other the show, which was on Blog Talk at the time. And that's how it started. Then I started coming on to your show and then a few others from the network. And, and 2018, now I had my show for the last 6 years. So it has been,
that's what's up.
You know, it's been a ride. It's been a ride. And the ride's not over.
Wow,
and
Lou. Wow. You just reminded me exactly how long we've been going with this thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thankful, though. I'm very thankful. But you know what gave me my boost? Believe it or not, it was Chad Duke and LeVar Arrington. When they had their show here in the district and and Mike Wise during Mike Wise's show, he had a question, and he said, "Of all of the DC sports guys on the radio, the news program, or whatever, who would you remove if you can?" And I said, "Well, it would be Laverne and Shirley." And they were like, "Laverne and Shirley? Who is Laverne and Shirley?" And I said, LeVar and Chad. They stopped the show for almost 10 minutes, Lou, laughing. And then when Chad, because Chad and LeVar used to come on right after Mike Wise. And they tried to light into me. But and LeVar was like, call in, Kale from Suitland, call in. And so I went on and called in. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Man, I don't appreciate you calling me and my co-host Laverne and Shirley." I said, "Well, bruh, that's the name on the street. That's what people are calling you guys on the street because, you know, maybe like a episode before, LeVar had brought bean pies into the studio, and he was telling Chad, you know, open your mouth, and trying to feed Chad the bean pie. And I told him, I said, "Man, I said, you don't know anything about the city that you represented on that football field, because dudes here ain't holding no piece of bean pie for another man, telling him open his mouth so he can feed him." And after everybody on their show started laughing, they muted me. And then they started talking all this trash and would not take my call or bring me back in. And Lou, right then and there, I said, "You know what? It's time for me to start my own thing. It's time for me to start my own thing." Because if someone would have called in, they feel the need to jug at me or pick at me or you know, fool around with me, I'm going to laugh with them. I'm going to have a conversation and laugh with them. I'm not going to get so mad to the point where I block them out and, you know, don't take their call and everything. That's childish, man. That is childish to me. So that's what motivated me.
Well, I got one more memory, I think, that Mike Strainers. The 1999 final, Duke and UConn, they won their first title, their first men's title.
Yeah.
Duke had, you know, had one last chance to tie up with a three-pointer. They never got the shot in time, and UConn won their first title.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this. In 99, really, I'll say from around 97 to 2001, I had UConn beating everybody. I don't know what it was about that UConn men and women's team. their men and their women's team. It was like I don't know, like somebody just came and poured a cup of You'll Play Better basketball on everyone in that UConn uniform, and that's what they did. That's what they did to me, and I was hurt. I was hurt over that, being a North Carolina boy, you know, and Maryland, like, you know, we still reeling from our losses in the tournament, and Maryland was going out early at that point. So, you know, I went on and grabbed a hold to home, which was Duke, and UConn upset it. They really, truly upset me. Man, yeah, I don't like talking about that one. But, yeah, that was a
good
one. That one hurt me. That one hurt your boy bad, man. Hurt me bad, man. Because I'm running around talking all type of trash about what Duke going to do and how UConn's master run is about to be shut down. And they that last second shot, man. That last second shot. Boy. Damn it, Lou. You about to have me crying.
Sorry. Well, hopefully you should enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
okay.
That is what sports is, man. That is what sports. It's supposed to be what you don't expect.
If your team is it's March Madness. If your team is out, well, that's March Madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like I said,
I'm a regular Nipsey Russell. What can I say?
You're the original. I know that's right, Lou. I know that's right.
But a white person.
That's cool. But I think about going back to my Maryland team, the year that we lost Len Bias, man. It that was like, yes. And I was thinking about that, and you know, the amount of athletes that have played here in this DMV area, and you know, I can't help but wonder, has any other area lost as many good players as we had? You know, I can't think of nowhere else. I'm talking football, basketball. No one has passed in baseball. No one has passed in the USFL of Spring League. You know, And we did lose Wes Unseld, but he was old.
Yeah.
He had lived a full life. You know, he had written his whole legacy out. So, you know, when he passed, we kind of knew it was coming. Plus, he was sick. So we kind of knew it was coming. But Limbaugh, shock to the system, man. And then, man, Sean Taylor,
yeah.
That absolute, hey, Lou, I wasn't working at the time when Sean Taylor passed. So I had all day to watch the stories, and when they said he's going to make it, you know, we felt a little joy that he was going to make it, and as soon as they said he's going to make it, he passed away. And man, I'm talking about the pain of losing a family member. It felt like losing a family member. Man. You know, hurt me to my heart, man. Hurt me to my heart, as it did plenty of Washington fans. And you know, the dumb comments came out That was just like ridiculous to me, man. When people were blaming Joe Gibbs and why did you let him go home? And you know, if he'd have stayed around the team or stayed up here, none of this wouldn't have happened and all of that. How about if Florida didn't have the stupid laws that they did, where this man could have something in his home to protect himself, you know? But that's another topic. That's a whole another topic. But yeah, thinking of athletes in this area that were gone too soon, and I'm gonna even go to the quarterback that went to Pittsburgh. I don't know why his name is eluding me right now. What is his name, Lou? What was his name, Lou? The young quarterback, man, that went to Pittsburgh and got killed in the vehicle accident. I can't recall his name right now at the moment. But, yeah, that was another one that I was just like, damn. And the only thing I could say, and this might be selfish to some people, at least he didn't pass here. You know, at least the man didn't die here. He was somewhere else and, you know, lost his life. You know, it's a tragedy that he lost his life, period. But the only solace I could find was we as Washington fans didn't have to deal with losing another player. So. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back to the men's court. I'm sorry, I just brought us all the way down. I'm so sorry. Any other memories that you had from that from the March Madness?
Well, you also got to remember Gonzaga not that long ago either against UCLA. You know, UCLA was like the 10th or 11th seed. UConn was top, and they had to battle do like a double overtime, and Gonzaga won on a buzzer beater. Like, unreal.
Right. Gonzaga and Princeton, right? I look at those two teams, and you ask yourself, why are they winning? Why do they win as they do? And I've come to the conclusion that it's how these young men play ball. For some reason, it just seems like every year, Princeton and Gonzaga have the most disciplined ball players. And, you know, I always say if you want to see great fundamental basketball, watch the women.
Yeah.
But on the men's side, if you watch a Gonzaga or a Princeton game, you actually see great fundamental basketball with a little bit of that and one wild mentality that the rest of the NCAA played. So yeah, I always like to catch a Gonzaga or a Princeton game because, like I said, those guys always bring it. They always bring it, and you always, no matter who their opponent, you're going to see a good game. But this season, Lou, I'm hooked on these females, man.
Yeah.
Iowa. Because it's just not Caitlin doing her thing now. Now, Caitlin did have 24 points the other night and you know, showed her greatness. But it's what the rest of that Iowa team is doing. I mean, even the rookies.
Yeah.
Even the rookies. It's what they're all doing together that's just like, yeah, I'm with that. I'm pretty much with that. I like what I'm seeing, and you can look in each one of those Iowa players' face and see the determination in their eyes to be as perfect as they can be as a team. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing when you have young players. And I know all of them aren't young. I believe they have 2 5-year seniors in their organization. But just to watch them play, man, it's just like, wow. And Caitlin Clark.
And don't fall asleep when you're coming either.
Yeah, I'm not. UConn, South Carolina, LSU. You know, hey, and would you or would you not say it's a little more parity in the girls' game this year than the boys? I believe so. I believe so. You know,
it's bound to happen when you have that kind of, you know, when you have that kind of atmosphere. You know, you're bound to have the parody when you have that.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me either. And again, because you don't have the high flying dunking and all of those things going on in that girls' game, you get a more, you know, everybody plays fundamental. Everyone plays fundamental. So, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to me. You know, so we'll see what goes on and what exactly happens.
I'll tell you something like the other. Some of the upsets I was not surprised about at all. I was not surprised that Yale beat Auburn. Auburn, I thought, was kind of shaky. Yale is a good basketball team. You know, they're underrated, but remember, they play in the Ivy League conference that, you know, that doesn't get a lot of attention around here. But I do kind of follow them a bit. So I wasn't really too surprised that Yale beat Auburn. And the 8-9, as far as 8-9 teams go, 8-9 is not an upset. You know, I can go either way. So let's get that straight right now. They say that the 9 seed be an 8 seed, an upset. No, they're fairly even, so that's not an upset right there. And as for Duquesne, you know, I see them. I've watched them play. They beat the first round. I was not surprised by that at all. You know, sometimes these lower seeds can be very underrated. You know, because you don't get a chance, you know, to watch them because they're not probably like the major conferences. So you kind of get gypped out of it. You don't really know what they're about because you haven't got a chance to really watch them play because they're not like on the big stations, you know, because like, you know, like a small school area and whatnot, and, you know, most of the major leagues stuff, yeah, who is that? Yeah, we don't care. They're not a big school. What do we care? You know, but those will surprise you. And you got, you know, you really got to think maybe this team is better than we thought, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they got 14 feet, but that doesn't mean they're not good.
They're better than you think they are. Yeah, and I like those type of games, to be honest. I like those type of games where the team jumps out there, like you said, they're a 14 or 15 and 16 even.
Yeah.
And they come out and totally destroy a team that you would think they, you know, let's be honest, you know, you would think they wouldn't be able to hold a candle to. So that's a good, to me, with as wild and maddening as March college basketball is, when a 15 beat a 4, that is the madness. That's the madness in itself. When you got a team that's not expected to even be in the gym with these teams, and here they are holding court. You know, they're holding court, and you know, you can't – because it's such a disparity in their ranking, you know, all you can do is tip your hat to that team. That's all you can do is tip your hat to that team because they're doing, they are performing the madness that is March basketball. So,
correct.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that. I'm with you 100% on that. And
I always remember,
you know,
one thing.
You what? What did you say, Lou?
I always remember one thing of why that happened. Always remember one thing of why that happened, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because they thought they
were. Exactly.
They already thought they were. They love the hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I've always wanted
exactly.
To
do that. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Great talk. Great talk, Lou. All right. We're going to take a quick one. 563-999-3782. Let's try this JV song. We'll be right back.
I'm out at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Hey, New York, New York, I guess, you know. All right, y'all. NBA. The NBA. Let's go over our division leaders real quick. Top five, Eastern Conference. The Celtics, 57-15. The Bucks, 46-26. The Knicks, 44-28. Cavaliers, 44-29, and the Magic, 42-30. In the Western Conference, it's the Nuggets, 51-22. The Timberwolves, 50-22. Number three, the Thunder, Oklahoma, 50-22. The Clippers at number seven. Number five, the Pelicans, 44-28. Those are your top five Eastern and Western Conference teams. Now, the thing I really want to talk about with NBA, Draymond Green was ejected early last night in the, I believe it was the first quarter, after getting two fouls and a technical back-to-back, the referee said enough is enough, and it was. Enough was enough. They went on and threw him out the game, and for the first time, you saw a reaction from Steph Curry. And that reaction was tears. Steph Curry is so frustrated right now. And I don't want to just say frustrated with Draymond Green. I think he's just frustrated at the way things are going. As far as far as the team goes, you know, so, excuse me, y'all, I'm texting at the same time. As far as the team goes, I think these guys just, I don't want to say things have run their course with them, but clear to see that Steph Curry, as one of the big stars of the Warriors, isn't really happy with the direction that his team is going in right now. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll say this, man. It is time for the management team of the Warriors to make a decision. It's time for you guys to make a decision. I understand everything that Draymond Green means to this Warriors team. I understand that. But until Draymond understands that himself, we're just going to keep having this situation. We're just going to keep having these situations now. Yes, great, Draymond, he's not doing the elbowing or tripping or kicking people in the private areas or anything like that. Yeah. He's not going that wild with it. But he's still getting involved in non-basketball play. That arguing with the referee last night, to me, that was unnecessary. That was completely unnecessary. And for him, as important as he is to his team, for him to allow himself to get caught up in a situation like that, I believe it's immature. And it says to me, I don't want to say he doesn't care, but I'll say he has a careless attitude, if you get what I'm saying. What do you say about it, Luke?
Yeah, well, Jalen Green, of course, I call it one of the NBA's bad boys, because that's basically what he's doing. He's always getting himself into trouble. And, you know, how much more are they going to be able to put up with him? I mean, he's the reason why the Warriors lost against Cleveland in the 2016 finals. If he was there out of trouble, they would have won it.
Yeah. LeBron knew once he got Draymond Green ejected, the path was clear for them to go to be champions.
It certainly was.
And I'll say, in all honesty, that was the reason the Warriors more than welcomed Kevin Durant with open arms, because they didn't know if they could trust Draymond Green, because they didn't know whether he would be around or another situation would go on.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, hey, we can blame all the referees this and the referees that. That's a grown man. That is a grown man. And until he gets it in his mind, I'm hurting my team when I'm not available. You know, what do I always say, Lou? Your best ability is availability. So you as a player on your team have to realize exactly how much you mean to that team. I'm not going to say that they can't do it. I'm not going to say that they can't do it without a Draymond Green. But if you look at the statistical output, they win more with Green. Steph's numbers are higher, better. His stat line is better with Draymond Green. So you have to realize how important you are to your team. You have to, man. And these antics, bro, you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing. I mean, you know, you're not helping your team at all. It just comes back to that for me. And
yeah.
Our job, your job as a player, is to help your team. It is to give your team the upper hand. And every time you're thrown out of a game, especially now with Klay Thompson not being who he once was, you know, every time you get thrown out, it's like your Golden State team becomes watered down. They become watered down when you're
not
in the game. Not good at all. It's not good at all. So I don't know. I doubt if he's suspended. Because it doesn't look like, you know, they're going to suspend him for this action last night. But he was thrown out of the game last night. Now, Golden State still won the game, but it took a miraculous effort from Klay Thompson. You know, it took them putting all they could out. When, you know, we're going into the playoffs here soon. We're going into the playoffs. And if Steph and Klay and Wiggins, if these guys have to exert a whole lot of energy now, how do you expect them to give it once the playoffs start? You can't expect them to give it once the playoffs. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you really can't. I was going to say, I don't think you can do that.
You know, and I just look at Draymond Green, and I'm like, you're such a good talent, man. You are such a good talent. And to be the leader of your team as you are, It says a lot about the leadership in Golden State. Because I remember one time when we were here on the show and we talked about, is Steph a leader? Who do we think are leaders of this organization? And if Draymond Green is your lead, We are witnessing the NBA completely change right before our eyes. We're witnessing them completely change before our eyes, because there were times when the wild card could be your leader. Now, and get this, Steph Curry, for the first time, showed emotion. He was crying. Crime, man. And that to me is like, wow. Come on, man. You got to do better. You got to do better. You got to be better. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah. You know, well, sometimes I guess, you know, just like at the best of you, and that's how you know, get emotions. Because, you know, you let it happen to you, you know, but you got to be tougher than that.
Yeah. You have to be. You have to be. Let's go and take another call here. What's up, Brother Marcus?
What's up, Sam? How you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. We're sitting here talking about Draymond Green being thrown out of the game last night.
I don't know, man.
You know,
I think they should have waited until he actually bit him on the ear, man, took a chunk of his flesh off.
Took a chunk off of who here? The referee? Oh, man.
No. The dude he slammed. You know what I'm saying? The player he slammed. He should have just bit his ear. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and
the slam was actually the night before. Last night, he got in the referee face with an argument. And you know what? I saw the slam as well. And I said to myself, oh, man, here he comes. He about to start it up again, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised. That's a great point, Marcus. I would not be surprised if he wasn't being judged in yesterday's game for that slam. You know, the referees looked at it. They probably had a call from NBA top brass and said, you know, dude getting out of control again. Let's get into this and handle this before it becomes a situation we can't handle. You know, before he just gets way beside himself. So,
I mean, I gotta be honest, man. I come from the era of this thing where, man, it was a whole bunch of Draymond Greens and nobody cared.
Like
this right here, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like he's a beast on the court, and he's what he's supposed to be on that court, for real. That's he's supposed to make people uncomfortable down there. That's his whole job. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, and I don't really see nothing wrong with I see something wrong with it, but I don't see nothing wrong with it, you know?
Yeah, I get it. And there's a lot of people who feel that way about it. There's really nothing wrong with what he's doing, but he's ruining the game, man. He, like you said, there was a time when there were a whole lot of Draymond Greens in the NBA. That's no more. The game wants to clean up, man. They don't want those type of happenings going on. They want straight up basketball competition. You know, there's just no room for that, man. There's no room for that. I mean, and that slam. I listened to the talking heads try to say, you know, well, that really wasn't that bad, and you know, but when you're Draymond Green and you have that type of history or background, you know, stuff like that, man, you just can't be a part of. You can't allow yourself to get caught up in stuff like that because it hurts your team. I mean, like I said, we saw Curry show the emotion last night. You know, the man cried on the court. You know, we're looking at it like, so what? Draymond Green did some Draymond Green activity, and he was ejected from the game. That's weird looking at it.
Yeah. They're making the game soft, bro. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I was asked that question. You know, how soft do I think the game is now? And I'm sorry, man. Sometimes, yes, I can look at what's going on and say to myself, well, damn, they going to call that a foul. And then other stuff, I'm like, damn, they not going to call that a foul. You know, so it kind of goes back and forth. I think these referees are choosing more so now what is and what's not, you know, and to me, you throw the players off in the game as well, because now people don't know what to do. People don't know what's allowed, what's okay, what's wrong, what's right, you know? And I'm pretty sure as more eyes get on the NBA, we're going to see it happening further. We're going to see things that we expect to be called as a foul. We're going to see guys pushing the envelope to the limit, you know? And I, for one, I don't like messy basketball. I don't like messy basketball. I'll admit fights and group rumbling is exciting. It's very exciting because you don't expect to see that. But at the same time, I don't watch wrestling because I don't like wrestling. You know, and I'm watching basketball because I like basketball. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. Okay. Well, yeah, man. It's just to me, the sport that I'm watching is because I love it. So, give me what I love, man. Stay in the boundaries of the actual sport. Don't go and change this thing around and start doing all type of wild stuff outside of the realm of the sport. You know, nobody tunes in for that. Everybody tunes in to watch the sport as it is, you know? So, you know, you can try and make it this and that and say it this and that and all that you want to. Basketball is basketball. Wrestling is wrestling. Boxing is boxing. We watch each one because we enjoy each one for our own reason. So we don't need a basketball game turned into a boxing match. We don't need that.
No.
We don't need that. Go ahead.
It's basketball, not wrestling.
You say what?
That's going to ruin the game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like I'm not into the wildness. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm just not.
No, of course.
And I can understand a team that has a natural hatred for another team. You know, but at the same time, you know, I just don't want – I choose not to watch that. I choose not to watch that. And now let me ask you this question. How long do you think the Warriors will finally say, okay, we've had enough?
Of Draymond Green? Man, they're not.
So they're just going to keep allowing him to do that.
Yeah. He does his job on the court.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess once he gets older and those things are frowned upon more. And let's be honest, you know, we're talking about a player who's already had multiple suspensions, who's already been ejected more than anybody. And think about that, man. He's been ejected from NBA games more than anyone. I'm talking about Rasheed Wallace. Talk about Dennis Rodman. I mean, all of the extreme players. He's been ejected more than anybody, man. That's got to be tiring to upper management, man. Wouldn't y'all think? Because after a while, the blame is going to go off of Draymond and on to the Warriors as an organization. It's going to go to them. You know, people are going to start saying, you know, why they allow this? Why are they allowing that? You know? He wouldn't do it if he didn't have a job, if we didn't see him in the NBA. You know, I for one feel like personally there's going to come a time when they're like, okay, we've had enough. We have had enough. This dude has been suspended. He has gone to counseling. He's had all type of on the court and off the court help. And this is what we're getting. And they're going to start to look at those numbers and say, are these numbers really worth it? All he's not giving us and all he is doing, are these numbers really worth it? And I for one, I have to say no. I have to say no. And I think sooner or later that Golden State team, and more now, they signed him for 4 years, $100 million. But I truly don't think he's going to last this whole 4 years. I really don't. That's just my opinion. Opinion here on the corner. I've seen teams get tired of players' antics. I've seen teams say, okay, go ahead. What'd you say, Lou?
I mean, there's only so much they're going to be able to take of all the antics that's going on. Something has to give.
And that team is not, they're not going to allow their name and reputation be ruined by one player. You know, as much as owners love you as a good player, they'll turn, that worm will turn quick.
Yeah.
That worm will turn quick, and you'll see a guy find himself escorted directly out of the organization. So, you know, hey, I hope he gets himself together, truly.
Yeah.
You know, I hope he gets himself together. But the thing about that, too, is how many times have we said that, y'all?
Yeah.
How many times have we come on air and say, yeah, I hope Draymond gets himself together. And then they show us all of his antics, and it's like one right after the other, right after the other, right after the other. Come on, bro. Come on, man. It's going to get to a point where people are not going to excuse you. People are not going to look at you and just say, oh, that's just Draymond. No, because you got all of the rest of the NBA. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's over 700 players in the NBA. 700, you know. And if everybody else is held and performing to a standard, why do they keep allowing Draymond Green to do what he do? So now not only will you have fans same thing, you'll have other owners. Because, for example, I'm an owner of a team, right? And one of my players get Rudy Gobert or Sabonis or anything like that by Draymond Green, and I lose my player. As an owner, I'm pissed. I am pissed as an owner because there is no way that this man should be allowed on the court with all of these situations. I mean, how much are you going to allow him to just get away with? You have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself. So, I mean, just for me, yeah, enough is enough, man. For me, it's time to go ahead and see what else you guys can do without Draymond Green. And we know the NBA, like Marcus just said, somebody likes his talent. Somebody likes what he does, what he brings to the table. So somebody will pick him up. And he'll go to that team and carry on in the same manner. In the same manner. You know, we talk about how players get a bum rap or a bum deal, and we try to place it on this happening or that happening or that or this and everything. We try to place it on everything except for the player. Except for the player. And this is one situation I believe wholeheartedly that it's the player that's at fault. It is Draymond Green. It's nothing around him. It's him. It is him. And as long as the NBA, keep ignoring it, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. He's shown us his pattern. He may get himself together. He may play 9-10 games the right way. But sooner or later, he's coming back out with that ignorance. Sooner or later, he's coming back out with that stupidity, man. So that's just how I feel. What say you, Lou?
I hear the question. Say it again.
I said, what about when the rest of the teams are fed up with Draymond Green and his antics?
Well, they have a point there. I mean, you know, they're the ones that have to handle the discipline. You know, the more he keeps going up like this, being the jerk that he's been all this time, you know, they have to take action for it. Because he's somewhat of a star, which he barely is. You know, he just can't get away with everything. Let's put it this way. Draymond Green is like this series of version of, say, Dennis Rodman. I mean, you know, he was a filmmaker too. Even though he's from another planet, though, but still, along the same lines, you know, your basic culture. You know, even though Dennis Rodman was a space alien, you know, but we can't excuse it for that.
But
Draymond Green's following the same line. And he won't change.
Right.
I mean, you think of all the years it's been now. It's been, 8 years now since the incident where they lost as they choked.
Right.
He hasn't learned anything. He's still causing trouble and, you know, still getting fined, suspended, or whatever. And, you know, enough is enough. I mean, somehow they just seem to cave into him. It's time that, you know, that the referees and other officials take action. You know, I guess it's putts, because that's basically what he is.
Right. Yeah. To me, like you say, Lou, the rubber has met the road. The rubber has met the road. And
and be a good fight
at
guy.
This point, yeah, man. At this point, all you're getting from Draymond Green is a flat tire.
Yeah.
And everything he does is a flat tire, man. And you don't want, as an organization, again, to have that sort of mantra over you. You know, you don't want that, man. You know, I can't express. Go ahead.
You don't want that. You know, it's another example of what's bad for the game.
Yeah. You know, I wish the young man would, you know, get himself together, man, because it's just, it's crazy to me, man. You have all this talent, all this good talent, man. And you just constantly just keep pooping on it. I'll use that word, pooping. You just keep pooping on it because that's exactly
right.
What he's doing. He's pooping on it. Or as my father used to say, hocking. You just hocking all over your opportunity,
right?
And you can't blame no one but yourself. All right, y'all. That's the NBA talk. Like one more time, division standards, Western Conference. You got the Nuggets at 51-22, Timberwolves 50-22, Thunder 50-22, Clippers 45-27, and the number 5 team, Pelicans, are 44-28. In the Eastern Conference, you have the Celtics, who are 57-15, the Bucks, who are 46-26, the Knicks, 44-28, Cavaliers, 44-29, yeah. And the Magic at 42-30. These Knicks, you know, they are a sneaky team. The Knicks are a real sneaky team right now. Brunson is playing amazing basketball. Julius Randle has stepped his game up, and he's playing great right now. And the supporting cast around those two guys are just, you know, everybody is doing the right things, including the Knicks coach, because he's calling a hell of a game. He's calling a hell of a game and making substitutions and calling plays at the perfect time, because these guys are rolling. These guys are rolling to me. If Milwaukee didn't look as strong as they do to me, I would say Knicks would be my favorite going for second in the East. Milwaukee's just playing great ball right now. The Celtics are playing great ball. I told you guys how I don't trust the Celtics at all. So, you know.
Why not?
Because it seems like when it gets down to it, and you're playing for something and things are on the line, the Celtics just we've seen them debacle. We've seen them debacle season after season here lately. So it gets to a point where I'm like, I can't really get into the Celtics, you know. And some people say it's the coach. Some people say it's Tatum, you know. Brown is about the only one that everybody has a good rapport or a good word when it comes to him. But everyone else is just like a shaky, I don't know type of situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, what can you do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at Tatum and his game, and he's really like, to me, Tatum reminds me of a sometime player.
Mm.
What I mean by that, he really doesn't bring all his energy all the time.
Yeah.
I'll say. It's like when I want to, here I come. If I don't, oh well. Somebody else bring it, you know. And I'm like, how can you have that type of mentality? You know, I would expect you to be a little more into your team, you know, a little more with them. You know, you're basically saying, you know, the heck with it. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't, you know. And you can't be that way when it comes to your your team. You know, these guys are out there. These guys are out there giving their all night in and night out. You got to give your all too, bro. You got to give your all too. You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens, or you know, what's going on.
Got a call. Happy day. Try and call the show Saturday if you can, Cal. Okay. Trying to call my show, sir.
Okay. All right.
46.
Saturday. 46.
46.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha. All right, y'all. We'll take a quick break. 563-999-3782 is the number. Let's take a little Jimmy Walker walk. Junior Walker say, put on your red dress. We going downtown. I remember, man. I remember the days downtown used to be the place to be. You hear me? Everybody was going downtown. There was something happening every weekend downtown, and you could not, would not miss it. You understand what I'm talking about? The only thing about it for here now, that was the case when I was in North Carolina, going downtown. And, I mean, it wasn't even about going to a club or what have you. It was just everybody together going downtown, you know. And they had the pool hall. They had a couple of spots that were open. But because North Carolina was a poor place, they would all get together, go downtown, and do like we did on Sundays at Anacostia Park, you know, or Hang Point. And that's everybody hanging out, chilling, you know, doing whatever. So, yeah, downtown. It was a beautiful thing, a real beautiful thing. NFL, y'all, NFL. There's a video that has surfaced about Jaden Daniels. Now, we all know that the Washington football team are projected to pick Jaden Daniels from LSU. I had my doubts about Jaden Daniels from the beginning, but watching his pro day and all of that, watching him do his thing, you know, I really feel that he's underrated. And to talk about the young man's weight and all of that, that he's too small to play quarterback and, you know, all of that, it's crazy to me. I see Jaden Daniels as a great quarterback prospect. I do want him to gain a little upper body weight. But he's a Heisman Trophy winner, you know, and if that elbow was that bad, I don't think he won the Heisman Trophy on a bum elbow. I think everybody is just we have to basically realize Washington is not going to lose of the negative talk that normally follows us just right away, because a lot of teams and a lot of media personality, let's face it, they just don't like watched for whatever reason. Let's open up the phones, Brother Ted. What's happening, Ted? Unmute yourself,
good evening,
bro.
Good evening. How y'all doing? Yeah, just waking up. Hey, Kells Corner family.
What's going on with
you? Nothing much. Yeah, I heard you talk about.
Now, hold on. Before you do that, and just because I want your opinion on this, my NBA guru, Draymond Green, man. How long before you think the Golden State team says, okay, we're done with you? After this season?
They should be.
Okay. Because Marcus was on, and Marcus said he don't think they're going to say that at all. I heard a couple of talking heads earlier today saying just about the same thing. They're not going to part ways with Draymond. He's a big part of their team. Now, I saw Steph Curry showing an emotion that I've never heard him show or seen him show.
How can you hear emotion? You can't. No, you can't hear the emotion
that you ever saw.
He was crying. They tried to debate whether he was crying or not. That boy was crying. I was telling Sheila, look at the way he rubbing his eyes and how he putting that over his head. That boy had some tears. He was very emotional. You know,
that,
it's just some stuff.
That,
I mean, with all these things this boy done. You know what I mean? Keep doing constantly. He's supposed to be so smart, but yet so dumb. You know, you can't control your emotions. Come on, man. Dude, you just that's idiotic right there, Draymond. When you know you're on the hot seat, when you already, you know, been suspended, you know, jumped on the guy's neck, choked him out. You know, of course it's gonna follow you, man. Of course they gonna question everything you do. Cause look at everything you've done. Okay, so and then you want to play the victim with that last thing. Well, leopard don't change spots, and you know I can't. I got to be me, this and that. So you just try to open the door so you can still continue to do the antics that you're doing, you know, but try to be slick and sly on things, you know, because you came out, you still was on the edge doing things, you know. That was questionable to me, but they was giving you a pass because they didn't want to just get rid of you that quick as far as the refs kick you out of this net. But, I can see what they can say. They don't want to break that up. But, dude, if you're a big part of my team, but if you ain't there, like you say, best thing is availability, however you say it. But if you ain't there, what are you doing? How are you helping us? You know, if you always have you suspended, you know, we can't count on you to be on the floor, this and that. So you're unpredictable because, you know, you're supposed to be so smart. We predict that you would, we thinking that you would get it, but time and time, you don't get it. You seem to get it, though. So you think you want to cry like you're the victim. Come on, man. You think you slick, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, it's your best. Ability is availability.
That's
and
it.
If you're not available for us, I think Steph was crying because he's fed up, man. He's fed up. That this man has received all type of help. This man has received all on and off the court. People have tried to help him. But yet still he still resorts back to this prehistoric behavior. You know, you want to stand there and argue with the referee. Listen, the referee has a job to do out there just like you. You know, and we know the ref doesn't always does his job on. Hey, can you do me a favor? Turn that down a little bit, please. Turn that down a little bit. The ref doesn't always do an adequate job. We all know that. But it's his job to judge you and what you're doing or not doing. And to get in this man's face and argue with him, where is that? I mean, you have to know that's going to lead to you being removed from the game. You have to know that, like you say, man, for a smart dude, for a dude that's labeled smart, he does some dumb things, man. He does some real stupid things to me, you know? And like I said earlier, man, Golden State as a team, as an organization, they're going to get tired of the reputation that they gain. Because think about it like this, Ted, and I know you can relate to this. Let's say he's playing your Chicago Bulls. You're not a fan. You're an owner, a part owner of the Chicago Bulls. And he takes out a DeRozan with some of his crazy nonsense. Yo, as an owner, you want something in return for that. You are now without one of your best players because Draymond couldn't control his sugar honey iced tea. And you want answers. You want something more than it might be a situation where for the first time, we'll see the person who caused the injury out as long as the injured player is. I'm serious. As an owner, I would want that. I would want that. I would want him to be seriously punished for his doings because he really has it, you know?
Look. I'm just recalling Rudy Gobert's situation. How this fool just jumped on this man's neck like that, man. When do you see something like that, man, from a professional? Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, this dude literally had. I mean, because Rudy's 7 foot something. He dude jumped on him and rolled him, man. Now what if Rudy, you know, had a condition where what if Rudy choked him out and passed out or something like that, or what if he could have died? You know, could have caught him in a position where he couldn't have breathed or whatever, because he was on that, man. You know, this thing got did not happen, but it could have worse than that. You know, So it's just crazy. I'm picturing it now, how he just jumped on it and how he was just gritting, you know. He was just trying to stretch it up, man. You know, dude, you know. And then, you, like you say, you get suspended. We think you would do different, but you put that little thing in your window, like I said. Well, that don't change part. I got to be me, this and that. Okay, so, you know. But I think he's gone, man, because, like I say, what good are you if you're not here for us? And it don't seem like you're learning anything, man. You know, so I ride out the rest of the season with him and see. They got no choice to ride out the rest of the season and see. And he's gone, man. I mean, he's gone. I think he's like more he's tarnishing, like you say, the legacy of the Golden State Warriors and what they have done. You know what I mean? They can't celebrate. They can't talk about much because all you got him in the headlines, you know, about his craziness and how he's disrupting the team. You know, how he's upset and stuff, you know, and this and that, you know. So, but then I think, though, why, man, ain't nobody there man enough to grab this dude back. Dude, you already got one technique. Come on back to the bench. Just grab him away from the damn ref. I don't care if he jerks back. Just grab him, man. You ain't got two dudes that just grab him back, not stand in front of him. Nigga, push him back like Jordan did. He grabbed Dennis Rodman and got him away from the ref. You know what I'm saying? Turn your back. Yeah. I didn't turn my face. You know, I should have got spent over what I said, but I just didn't turn my face, you know, far enough or whatever for him not to hear me or see me. Nigga, you shouldn't even said it, bottom line. You know, you like you would tell your kids, you shouldn't have did this and that, but you act like a big-ass kid, man. You know, you act like a totally big ass kid on the adult arena, man. And you try to tell, if you got kids, you try to tell them to do something. I mean, they look at you like, "Dad, daddy, you ain't doing what you say we should do," you know, or whatever. Right. You doing what you say we should not do, or is this kid unruly like that? You know.
Right. All right. Let's go to another call here. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. You're on the corner. What's happening?
I want teeth like Draymond Green. I don't give a damn what nobody say about Draymond Green. So the Washington, the Euro Wizards, they need Draymond Green. They need somebody like Draymond Green, or at least somebody with Draymond Green teeth, so when he go, it's killing hell out you. Look like a King Kong. Demo movie or something, a trailer for it anyway, but I just wanted to make two predictions, DMV Kale, if I can, on Kale's Corner.
Make your predictions, Red.
Good. I want to make one about the NCAA women's and men's basketball. Somebody got to win, and somebody's going to lose.
Every year.
And now I want to make my prediction about the NBA tournament.
Nah. That's too easy. Somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose. We all knew that. Who going to win? That's what
somebody,
we want. That's a prediction.
Somebody.
Man. Boy, you a 50 cent dude. Come on. What's your NBA prediction?
Ask me who going to lose. Ask me who going to lose.
Who gonna lose, Red?
Somebody.
You a Bama. Come on, man.
Lord.
I want to say this, though, and I'm going to be honest with you. Man, I've been so more tuned in to the women's basketball than I have been into the men. And for more reasons than one, I'm really starting to like that lady Coach out there at LSU, Kim, I don't want to pronounce her last name wrong, McCauley.
Mulkey.
Kim McCauley.
Kim Mulkey.
I'm really starting to like her. She runs a diverse program that up there in Baton Rouge. And I'm just not because of Angel Reese, but just the recruitment that she's doing over there at LSU, down in LSU. So hats off to them, but... Of course, you know, if you know, I love me some Dawn Staley, right? Been a fan of Dawn Staley when she was a player, and she is really excelled what she's doing down in South Carolina as far as a coach. Now, my only concern is that I think that people should look out for is a team called Iowa State. They have 5 returning freshmen that all played in this tournament this year. And and when I say they took Stanford to the brinks, they took Stanford to the brinks, to the ropes in overtime. If you saw that game last Friday night, it was a Friday or maybe Saturday night. As a matter of fact, I think it was earlier in the week, Monday night. It was a game for the ages to watch when it just came to basketball all together. So I look forward. It was a freshman on there. The young lady, she was kind of heavy. Said her name was Crook. But man, she could play some ball. And then they had another freshman on there, Johnson, I think her name was. And man, you talk about when they talk. What's the check? Was it Caitlin or whatever? That's at Iowa, right? What's her name? Caitlin, whatever.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, man, all that girl can shoot like Caitlin Clark. So, look, Iowa State, they got kicked out of a tournament. But yet, next year and for the next years to come, look out for them to make it to the Final Four. I guarantee you that. They might snatch one away. But if you had to ask me who to put my money on when it came down to the women's tournament, It could come down to LSU and South Carolina definitely going to get to the Final Four. Now, the other teams that's out there, it could be Stanford or look out for Texas.
So you don't
Iowa's
think Iowa's going to
make
do it
No, Caitlin Clark's career is going to get in on a stunner. Watch. She's going to outshoot her team. And it's going to hurt. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes that bad is bad. And if you've been paying attention to the stats that they've been spitting out there during this tournament, when it comes to Clayton Clark, when Iowa loses games, they're 7-11 when she has 40 points or more.
Well, I would agree with you if the rest of Caitlin Clark's team haven't been showing up like they are. Those young girls are shooting good, and Clark is only giving you like 20, 24 points. So I would agree with you if it was the other way around. Yes, if Caitlin had to score 40, then and I'm not even going to say they'll lose because the rest of those girls are stepping up as well. But
If you go to the free throw line 30 doggone times, they giving them all them calls when West Virginia is trying to play their hardest out. And as soon as you touch them, Caitlin Clark always leading with her arm, pushing people off and stuff. And them and they complain. You touch her, she want to complain. You know, but the mother girls West Virginia was playing their heart out. They not complaining at all. They knew what was happening. They knew they were set up. They knew it was geared up for Caitlin Clark. Everything is for her to win. I just can't wait till she lose, man. You know, I told you, I sure appreciate
that. She's going to be the angry black one. I mean, excuse me, but anyway. But now when it comes to the men, I don't know at this point. You know why? Because the NCAA men's basketball, right? The NCAA men's football, the landscape has changed because it's money involved now as far as players. So these little small-town schools that once couldn't get Juju Ray Johnson, that was the top leading scorer in Baltimore or the top leading scorer down in Texas, they can get them to their schools now. So, in other words, it's a mixture. The big Division I teams are not getting all the big-time players now anymore outside of Colorado because Deion is just a draw, right? Nick Saban talked about this when it comes to football, the money now, the NIL, it didn't change the landscape. So, with the NCAA men's tournament, I really don't know. You know why? Because it's money involved. And when it's money involved, these players that you never heard of, suddenly they appear off the bench and they scoring damn 20-something damn points a game, and you like, whoa, where he come from? Oh, he been here all the time. Oh, we didn't pay him about $50,000 this year. Oh, and we didn't pay this scholarship this year. He just been sitting on the bench. Oh, here he come. There he go. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
So, you go look at it, and you like, where the, outside of these little teams like Duke and them, right, they leaning on. But in the next 2-3 years, you're going to start seeing a lot of more of these little, where the hell did they come from, name schools with these players in front, and they sitting there in the Sweet 16. Oh, they in the what they call the eight, the what they call the Big Eight, not what they call the Big Eight or whatever.
Elite.
And then
the Elite Eight.
There you go. Thank you, DMVK on Kale's Corner. I'm just saying. So at the end of the day, when you really ask me who's, I don't know right now. I'm curious to see.
Illinois. Well, this is Illinois. That's a safe bet. Go Illinois.
And then I got to get ready to go. I love y'all here on Kale's Corner. I appreciate you so much, Kale. But one more thing I want to say before I Frankie Beverly and let y'all go. You know when I also love, man, in these games, man, when these kids lose and they cry and stuff. And I mean, I want to cry with them kids. I mean, I like when they, especially when it be a close game and then they lose and they put their shirt over the, even when the little girls lose, I really want to cry then. You know what I'm talking about? And I was watching the women's game. I'm going to tell you this. And remember when Buttons played basketball, Kale?
Yeah.
She's about to graduate from college, praise God. But I'm just saying, though, I had Buttons playing the 4 to 5 because she was taller and bigger than all the other girls, you know, in the league and stuff, in the middle school. But then when she got to high school, them other kids got tall and Buttons ain't grow too tight no more. And I said, baby, I should have made you let you play the 2 and the 3 instead of trying to have you play the 4 and the 5. I apologized to her and started crying. She said, Dad, you must be smoking right now. I said, yeah, I have. But anyway, I'll talk to y'all Bama's later.
All right, bro. That's Rev T.
Yeah, he should have had still working on balls and the skills, you know, because when you get in grade school, you know, you might not grow. So you should, if you start off big, you know, when you, like you say, as you get older in high school, you might have to revert to a guard or what have you, smaller. Because I, you know, grew up playing because I was tall, you know, but then as you grow up, you're 6'2", you a guard, you know, as far as in high school. You know,
yeah.
Guard, small, four, whatever. So you gotta be able to work on your dribbler then. Once you know that you're not gonna be a center, you know, or what have you. But you still gotta work on your ball handling. Period, though. But definitely, for that a certain size, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", you know, for sure.
No,
definitely good of all period. But yeah, like I've been saying, girls have been exciting, man. It's definitely it is. But he better watch out also for that Iowa State team because they also have the transfer portal, you know. Where girls can go to school and get on out of there and this and that. So, you know, we'll see. Let's hope they stay and not get frustrated and say, man, I don't like the way this coach did this. I want to try on somewhere else. Let's hope they stay together, you know.
But as far
as the girls, I think South Carolina might take it. They on a mission. You know, they're a lot bigger than everybody. She's using her bench like she should, you know. LSU, they good. I like they starting five, but they don't have no backup for Angel Reese. That girl I told you that what's the name girl thinking she this and that, she ain't nothing. She come in and make a mistake. She come in, she get an elbow. She try to do – she's stupid. I told you, she put her arms back. How you going to pull your arms back trying to get a rebound? And you looking like, you know, your arms up in the air. No, you got to be reaching for that ball. So she's not really no help for them, not to go against Dawn Stanley and them. You know, because Angel Reese be out there battling on her own. You know, also with Angel Moore. I mean, she got a girl Moore with her, but as far as another center, they short.
All right.
Let's go. I believe this is Kirby. This you, Kurt?
Yes, it's me. I've been having phone trouble, babysitting problem, and my wife took the phone and picked up my son and all this stuff. God bless Texas. You better look out for Texas and that basketball thing. Of course, my complaint about basketball is I was carrying some peaches home and a bunch of guys jumped me and dumped my peaches out, took my wooden peach basket and nailed it to a tree and started throwing balls in there, and then they cut the bottom out of it and everything about 100 years ago, you know. They call it round ball.
Best game
We got another 1-1-1-1-1-1 caller. What's up? It is Nas with Rev again.
Yo, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
What's happening, Nas? What's going on? Hey, now before we jump back into basketball, I want to get back into this real quick, and that's this story that's going around about Jaden Daniels and that elbow. You know, have you guys, because, you know, Jaden Daniels is the quarterback that we, the Washington football
LSU.
Team,
yeah.
are supposed to draft. So do you guys, you know, are you not as worried on a scale of 1 to 10, man? Where are you guys with this elbow nonsense? Because the video went viral like 19 minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm not really worried. I think that's just a social media thing. But his elbow did look like a neck bone. Like when you zoomed in on it, looked like something was wrong. But when it comes down to it, man, they're going to do their medical evals, and the team's going to have all the information they need. So it's not like he could trick somebody and get in there and say, oh, yeah, got to tell y'all my elbow don't work. So, you know what I mean? It's draft season. We all watching 40 times and stuff. And fans just interested. So they saw it, and it went viral. There we go. But, man, don't worry about it. They got doctors and everything for that, man. They checking all.
That's what I think. Yeah, and even on the picture of the elbow that we're talking about, he was throwing the deep ball and completed it. So, I don't know. Maybe,
I believe I gave you the correction, sir. That is a neck bone. That is not an elbow.
I seen this one guy I used to grew up with, right? Now he had his elbow looked like you said, neck bone and stuff, but it just stayed like that. I don't know whatever had happened to him when he was younger, got a broken dislocated, whatever. But I guess they didn't put it back in the right socket. But anyway, he always had that elbow like that, but he can shoot some ball, man. But his elbow was jacked up, you know. But some people, like you say, I don't know what they did to his surgery or how he got displaced when he had the injury, but if it healed back that way and it strengthened, that's how it disformed, how it strengthened, and he got the strength to do what he do, that's just how his elbow is for life now, you know, unless you want to break it again and try to straighten it. But I don't know what happened to it, but it ended up forming like it looks now. But he's completing the passes, he's got stronger with it, and he's used to it, and that's just part of what it looks like.
Yeah, and that's what I say. I say it's like a combination of what both of y'all are saying. We're in the draft period now. The draft is next month. You know, actually, we can't even say next month anymore. It's a couple of weeks away. So
right.
People are going to come out with these type of stories at the last minute. Oh, he has this and he has that going on, and, you know, all type of craziness. So I'm not worried about it. And the only part that I was worried about was his lower body. You know, he didn't look big to me, you know, but when I watched him at the combine, at his pro day, and he had on shorts
I said, oh, Fleming is a little bit thicker than I thought he was, you know. He's a bigger player, and he's taller than I thought he was. So, hey, man,
yep.
I say if that's the guy that you all are wanting to go with, go with him. Go with him with all the fervor that you can use to draft a quarterback, get him. Now, my only other question was, because I looked at the draft picks, and Washington doesn't have a pick in the fourth round at all. So I'm thinking I wouldn't be upset if they, because we have two picks in the second. We have the number 35 and the number 40. So I'm thinking trade that number 40. Trade back, swap places with somebody, and pick up something in the fourth. That's just me. I'm greedy. I want to draft in every round the draft is available. I want to pick somebody. And with Peters.
No, I was just going to say, I've been watching, you know, I respect what Riddick, I can't think of this boy's last name, but Riddick be talking about. Well, Stephen A. called him something. But anyway, I just really respect what he said. He said Daniels, to him, might be the number one quarterback, you know, of all the things he can do, you know, under pressure and this and that and what have you. So it's like, it's, you know, they said Caleb, yeah, because that's what the Bears want, this and that. But then, like I say, Lewis Reddick saying that, hey, to him, Daniel is the best, you know. And he should be number one. And I forget about that boy winning Heisman Trophy, you know.
I think that's fair. That's fair. He's basically saying Jalen has the highest ceiling out of all the quarterbacks. Out of all the quarterbacks, if all of them are good, Jalen can end up being, you know, one of them all time. But there's a chance that, you know, he's just not good, period. And Caleb is a little safer, and that's why people got Caleb a little higher on the board. But, I mean, the only real problem with Jalen is he needs to put on a little weight. And like Kel said, you can see they already started that process. He's been putting on weight. And you go look up some of them LSU highlights. Man, sometimes when he get hit, it look like a cartoon, man. Like, he does need a little weight. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
He's 8-2-10 now. Moving up.
All right, y'all. That we're gonna have to call it in, throw the towel in. Great show today. I want to thank everybody for their participation. Brother T, come on, give me your last word, man.
Hey, well, Kel's Quarter family, I'm sorry I missed you guys earlier. I was taking a nap, man. Glad whoever joined on the show. Glad you guys joined. I hope you enjoyed yourself, man. And then, hey, guys, be safe this weekend. Love your loved ones. Just watch yourself and be safe. Yeah. And just want to just pray for the family that, you know, anyone that's just caught up in this bridge collapse.
Yeah, man.
Pray for the family.
I tell you.
Rest of workers.
Great word, man. I tell you, when I woke up and saw that bridge collapse, man, I thought I was watching a movie. Seriously. And then I realized I was watching the news, and it was just like my heart went out to those families involved. So, yeah, Kel's Corner prayer, fellas, for all of those folks involved with that. Tuesday, we will be back Tuesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Enjoy the sports this weekend, man. Baseball kicking off, and my Nats ain't looking too good right now, but hey, man, they still got 161 more games to play, so I believe they'll pick it up before it's all over and said, done with. You guys have a great, great weekend. Like Brother Ted said, love on your family, man. Let them know you love them, man. So you'll be surprised who needs to hear it. Enjoy your Easter Sunday. For some folks, it's a pagan holiday. For other folks, it's not. So, you know, hey, whatever you or fall in line with, you stay there, enjoy yourself, and remember, no phone call or text is more important than your life. We love talking with y'all. We'll catch up with you Tuesday, Lord willing.